done that with my phone. Anybody ever do that with their phone? Where's my phone at? And I'm talking on it. Well, you know, one of the greatest things that I've had the pleasure of doing for the last 30 years is serving in this church. Because, you know, I came in and I got saved up the road, and then they were having a revival here with Brother Emmett, and Brother Angelo was a pastor probably over 30 years ago, maybe going on about 31 years. I think it'll be 31 years this coming May that I came to this church. And I had long hair, and I was about 110 pounds sitting back there where Tommy was, looking around pretty confused but pretty happy that I wasn't living on the street eating out of the garbage cans anymore. You know, my life, it came up a little bit. But every time that I go to minister to the homeless, every time that I go and have a bad day, my mind just goes back to where I was 30 years ago. And, you know, every good thing that I came and I got Brother Tim this morning and said, help us with these baskets back here. Because the greatest thing that you can do is serve the Lord. Amen. And everybody can do something for God. You know, you don't have to get up here and share, but I'm looking forward because every time Melissa's ever testified, she's preached to me. I felt edified just hearing her. I was glad I slipped my little testimony in there because she'd have had me all like, I wouldn't have known what to say when Melissa speaks. And it really irritated me that, you know, your mom would say, are you worthy? Are you worthy? You've been through the fire, man. You came out through the fire, and some of the stuff wasn't singed. You got a better house and a bigger house than better. You got something to say that God was with you. And just like Brother John said, you don't understand, Sam, everything. When I was showing you all that rent houses, it went up because they'd been in that house for a while, and when they heard the price of it, their eyes got big. But they said, man, you don't understand. We've lost everything in this fire. We've got nothing. And I said these words. It's a very good place because it reminds me when I came to Arkansas, I had nothing. But, you know, when you stand before God and you say, God, I have nothing, he can give you what to say. When you say this every morning, God, without you, I can do nothing. But the Bible says, therefore, through Christ who strengthens you, you can do all things. And it's not necessarily you, but the anointings that God puts on your life. There's an anointing for finances. There's an anointing for healing. There's an anointing for wisdom. There's many anointings on your life. There's an anointing to preach right now. And, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you want to do anything, especially when you get up out of bed and you come out from underneath them covers and you peek around. But if you start talking to God right at that point, you're going to feel like getting up. You're going to feel like doing something for God. Amen? In Isaiah 41 and 10, sometimes I like what Pastor Kelly's been preaching on about the gentleman that was lame and sick, and he was outside the pool of Siloam for 38 years. And Jesus said, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And he said, yeah, but I have no one to put me in. Yeah, you know, Jesus is saying, do you want more in your life today? Do you want that prayers that you've been praying that ain't answered yet in your life this year? Do you want to have exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or ever think according to the power of God that works in you? Because God's not going to put, you know, the power of God comes when you allow him to work in you. When you wake up and say, God, what is it you want me to do today? Where is it you want me to be today? Just put me there, God, and show me. And then God's going to put a little thing in your heart. And you might have to go, in Angel's case, you might have to go work for me. And then she starts praying. She probably calls 10 people before she even meets me. God, I got to work for Uncle Sam. Please pray for me. Wait a minute. Please pray for him that he's not in a bad mood like he usually is when I'm working for him. God has so much more for everybody that's here. And I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me, but sometimes I'm saying, well, God, I may not be worthy to be that blessed. I may not be worthy to do all this stuff. Well, that's good because my first verse really starts out in Galatians 3:13. And it says, therefore, hang on, I'm going to go there because I don't want to mess this up. It says, Christ has redeemed us. I'm changing it up a little bit, buddy. Galatians 3:13, and then I'm going to Isaiah 41:10. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, he that hangs upon the tree, he took the curses for us. Has anybody ever felt like there's a curse on your life, that you can't get out of this rut, that you can't get out of financial distress, that you can't get out of sickness, that you're always sick, that things happen in your family, in your relationships? You know, Christ has redeemed us from that curse, but there's a part we got to play. Amen? I tell Angel, and Angel gets to work with me, and I tell Angel, I said, I know people that are still in curses, and they're 80 years old, and out of their mouth, and they don't even know it. But that's bad, but they're still doing it. Out of their mouth, they're speaking curses over their seed and over the younger generations. Well, they can't do this. They're not worthy. They got to do this and this and this before they get healed. But it's strange that the Bible says, by my stripes, you were made whole. Not just our being healed, but you were healed on the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, all you have to do in your life is talk with God and say, God, where do you want me to be? I know one thing, if I'm not in church, if I'm not at work on Wednesday, which a lot of times I may not be, I'm in this church passing communion out. Do I feel like doing that every Wednesday? It don't matter what I feel like. That's what God wants me to do. That's where God's had me to be. Every Sunday at 8 o'clock, I'm getting up out of bed because I got to be here at 9 o'clock. Because that's what God wants me to do. But not just be here. What needs to be done? Brother Angelo said hi to me the other day, and I shot right to the trash cans. I think this was New Year's service, because I shot right to the trash cans, and I was coming back, and then we were going to talk or whatever. But because there's something God wants you to do. And see, it don't have to be get up here and preach. Maybe it'll be show up on Wednesday and serve the food ministry. Maybe it'll be show up tomorrow and do a little route with the seniors. You know, I didn't really want to do that route with the seniors when this came on. I mean, I was thinking, this is my mind. They might have COVID. I might get COVID passing these meals out. We started doing that during COVID. Now, I'm ad-libbing there. I mean, that's a pretty good excuse now for, and I got COVID, but I doubt if I got it from those old people. Those older people, they loved that, and they were amazed, and they were grateful for those meals, and they were grateful for those Christmas presents, and they're even grateful when you pray. Now one of the ladies has cancer and may be dying. I had Ernie come over in her house the other day. He was just over there passing some meals on. I said, man, I'm glad you're over here. And he laid hands on the lady, and we prayed for her. And you know, it's more than just passing out meals. It's an extension of the hands of Jesus Christ. Because either you're going to be the hands and the feet and the tongue that's speaking the curses off people's life. And it's got to start, the curse has got to start where you speak in the name of Jesus. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm no longer on fentanyl. I'm no longer involved in sinful relationships. I am a child of the Most High God. I am called, and I am protected by his blood, and I will be where he wants me to be, and I will do what he wants me to do, and the curses have no power over me. And you should never allow, I don't care if it's your grandmother or your mother, to speak curses over your life and say that you can't do something when the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? Okay. Isaiah 41, verse 10. And sometimes we're afraid to do these things. I mean, the first time I got up here preaching, I remember my knees were shaking, you know. I was shaking and trembling, and I don't think it was the anointing. I think it was just fear. And I mean, it was straight-up fear-like, you know. But then once I got to opening my mouth, you know, the shaking quit. And the first time I ever spoke, I spoke at one of my cousin's funerals. They asked me if I would say a few things, and I said a few verses, and I felt fire going through my head. I felt some fire going through my head up here when I first came to church on a Wednesday. You said, stand up. And my hands had been shaking from alcoholic tremors. And he said, stand up. And he goes, God wants to do something in your life today. And when he prayed for me, fire went through my head. And I believe the nerve damage that was in my head from drinking for 20 years and doing drugs for 20 years got healed that day. Because after that, my hands never shook with alcoholic tremors again. After that, I never had no problems again. But I remember these things because, see, the same God that did that for me, I wasn't nobody special. I was just the guy that got off track and liked living off the street and stealing watermelons from fruit stands and being chased down the street by the fruit owners. You know, it would have been a shame to get killed over that $1.50 watermelon, you know. But these guys in Chicago, they don't want you stealing from them, you know. But God kept me alive so that I could be here and tell you that you're going to have the greatest new year ever. See, if you put CNN on, they're telling us it's all going down. President Trump's gangsters are going to ruin the world. They're going to take your house just like they took the White House. But if you put Fox on, they're going to tell you another story. But, you know, if you just get into the Word of God and don't worry, just do what God tells you to do, you're going to come out on top. Because the way I found out, God has all the gold. He has all the silver. He knows where he wants you to work. He knows where all the money is. He knows what you need if you need to go back and get an education. He knows what you need. So I think to really get connected is you need to know God every morning. Where do you want me to be, God? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to serve in church? When I found out Angel put this tree together, I'm not saying nothing about Angel's work habits because she's one of the best workers I got. It don't mean nothing that she's the only worker I got, but she's the best worker I got. But she put this tree together pretty good. And, I mean, whenever we take it down, I think we ought to have Christmas every day, but that's just me. But, of course, at my house, I don't put the tree up or take the tree down. Cindy does. If it was me taking it down, that baby'd be up. Believe me. At least till Thanksgiving or something, you know. But God is so good, and he's got such an awesome plan in Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan for your life, and it is good and not evil. God has a plan for your life, and it's good and not evil. I was telling somebody this yesterday that my sister Mary got saved, and she asked me, well, how do I know? How do I know if it's God telling me or if it's the devil telling me? I said, well, God will tell you to go buy some idiot that you don't like groceries and put gas in their car, and you're not going to want to do that, but you need to do that anyway. And if it's the devil, when you're going through town, he's going to tell you to moon the whole people at the courthouse. That's the devil. And you gotta measure these out. You know, it's not that hard. It's right and wrong here. No, I just, somebody asked me that, but in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not. Don't be afraid, man, because if God's telling you to do it, just do it. And, you know, even if God, you think God's telling you to pray for somebody and you pray for them and they get healed, even if God didn't tell you to do it, what bad thing is that? You're doing a good thing. You're doing something for God. You know, just to have inside you like, God, what can I do for you today? He may tell you to pray. I know my sister's a prayer warrior. He may tell you to speak a word to somebody. The other day there was a thing that I get from Weikart Realties. They give me all of these little things that none of the big shots want to come and do, but I'll call the people and talk to them. And I got to talking to this lady, and she has a house in Lincoln, Arkansas. I'm not really too hip about driving to Lincoln, Arkansas to list her house, but when I found out it was a $550,000 house, I thought maybe I might have time to squeeze that in on a Saturday or Sunday. My boss and me split it. But I got to talking with her, and she's from Los Angeles, and she told me that she was angry with God, that her son had died, and it hadn't been too long, and she was heartbroken, and she was angry at God. And I realized that this is more than about a house. This is more than about making some money. And I said, will you allow me to pray for you? And she said, I don't even know if it'll do any good because I've been so mad at God. And that same anointing, you know, when I say that same anointing, it's the same anointing that was on Jesus Christ. It's the same anointing that's transferred down from my pastor to me to try to be a better financial steward, to try to pay my bills. I was telling him the other day, man, I think I got about $3,000 in Christmas bills and miscellaneous work bills. And he goes, well, I'm going to pray that you can put that together. I go, oh, I got it. It's just writing the checks is hard for me sometimes, you know. But, I mean, I wrote those checks out this week and it felt better. But the lady told me she was heartbroken because her son was dead and she was mad. And I said, well, God did not cause your son to die. I know. And I said, you know, the only thing I could identify is I had lost somebody to cancer. I said, but I know it's nothing like a son. And I said, you know, when that happened, and it was happening at a cancer ward, and they were doing chemo, and she was dying, and I said, she told me to go pray for some people that was there because she seen I was depressed. And I said, you know, I started praying for some people. I said, now she died. I said, there's people that I prayed for that are still alive today, and that was 30. That was in 2002, I believe. I said, now, I never really questioned God why, you know, I prayed for her and she didn't live. I just went with it. But I started doing more in the name of Jesus as a memorial to the late person that passed away. And I said, in other words, what I was telling her to do, if you'll get up and serve somebody, if you'll get up and find somebody that maybe needs some encouragement or some prayer that may have went through the same thing, there's something for you to do in the ministry. You don't have to just give up. You don't have to be depressed all the time. Man, I got a text from the lady. She's going to be in Fort Smith. They want to meet me or something. I don't know if I'm going to meet them tomorrow, but I'm hopefully if I get to sell my house. If not, I'm going to meet them, buy them dinner or something. But they're from L.A., and they're wanting to move over this way. They got family in Hot Springs. So I prayed for her the other day. I hadn't talked to her, and she texted me to check on me. And I said, can I call you back and pray? I believe I'm supposed to pray. And every time I pray for her, God gives me the prayer and prays through me. And the lady is bawling like a baby. And she thanks me like about 10 times. And she told me today that I was a godsend or something and that they might be up here. So I want you to think of this lady. And she's special to me because her name is Heidi. And I know, I think, Brother Eddie, you got an aunt named Heidi or a sister named Heidi. And when I seen her name on there, I was thinking about your family up north. But you know what? I'm going to just keep doing what God wants me to do. And see, God may send you to work at AMC, but you still say, God, there's something you want me to do. Because if you look around you and you're at a place with 700 people like me and Tommy at Walmart or Paul, there's always somebody having a bad day. There's always somebody that's lost somebody, that somebody's passed away. There's always somebody that you could just reach out with just a little bit of love and a little bit of friendship, and you can make a difference in your life. Amen? And God will help you. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. And in Isaiah 40 and 29, and sometimes you wake up and you just say, Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of people with their opinions. I'm so tired of people murmuring or talking trash about what I should be doing or how I should be doing it. You know, I just don't give people power over my life to speak curses in my life. I just get up and do what God wants me to do. And if I, you know, well, maybe I should slow down. This lady hit me. No, I shouldn't have slowed down. I should have sped up. If I would have been in just a little bit more of a hurry to get to my next stop, that lady would have never hit me. My Subaru would have been out there right now. So it's not about slowing down. No, I mean, but people can be real well-meaning about slow down. You shouldn't work no other jobs. Listen, you know, well-meaningness is good, but I every day try to hear what God tells me to do. And I remember when my pastor told me a long time ago, I see you, man, and you're shining like gold. And the gold stuff is nice. There's a nice gold chain under this, and it's nice, and I paid for it debt-free. I mean, I didn't pay one penny of interest on it. The reason it stays around my neck is to remind me you don't have to buy stuff on credit. You can have stuff without buying a credit. You can have stuff without – use your head. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it to all of us liberally. He doesn't upbraid it for nobody. You don't really have to be a new Christian or old Christian to ask God for wisdom. If you're going to make a financial move and buy a car, buy a house, ask God. Ask God what to do. Amen? But the greatest thing was I prayed for that lady, and today, I mean, I told her that, you know, 2 o'clock's the senior meals. I mean, if they call me at 11 and say they're buying lunch, I'll go up there and buy them lunch. But tomorrow I'm short staffed, but I look forward to meeting that lady. I mean, if she winds up buying a house, I told her, I don't care if she buys a house. If I just get to pray and she doesn't get mad at God. And I told her the story about Brother Ernie losing his sister who was a preacher, who gave her life for God. And then her life was cut short. She passed away with cancer, Ernie. And Ernie, one day somebody was preaching up here, and Ernie said, I've been so mad at God because of my sister. And I shared that story with her. And I said, and he had that. I said, but you know, you're admitting that you're mad at God. Most people won't even admit it. But you can't quit it till you admit it. You can't get help like Pastor Kel was preaching until you realize. You know, Pastor Kel left that jar in church this morning with some names that she prayed for that have been getting on her nerves. I told her I was curious. I was going to open it up and see if my name was in there. Then I realized if my name was in there, she would have had a big barrel because, you know, my wife's got a big barrel at home with my name in it, you know, on every time I've got on her nerves. But God is going to use you. Amen? And if you're afraid, God says, fear not. He says, fear not, a lot in the Bible. But in Isaiah 40:29, he gives power to the faint. I'm too tired to do this today, God. I don't feel like going to work today. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. So all you got to get up in the morning and say, God, I need your power today. I need your power to make it through today. I need your power to do what you call me to do today. And Lord, I may not have enough finances to do this. The Lord not only will increase you in strength, he'll increase you in finances, he'll increase you in revenue, he'll cause money to come from the east, west, south, and north. And right now I speak to this church, finances come from the east, west, south, and north, not in the forms of dollars, in the forms of hundreds, but in the forms of 100,000, half million, and millions to do the work that God wants you to do. There's going to be more feeding programs here because there's going to be more hungry people because not everybody knows to wake up every morning and say, God, what do you want me to do? But everybody, about 400 or 500 people, how many people got fed last week? Twice as much as many came here and got food, and people are all out there today with a full belly because somebody decided to do a food ministry here at Paris Christian Center. And actually, somebody got up in the morning and heard God say, you can cook some meals and feed the seniors. You can do something about this COVID. You can do something for this community. And that's Pastor Kelly. That's her job. Now, if you're part of this church, all your job is maybe to pray for Pastor Kelly. Maybe to tell somebody to shut up that don't like Pastor Kelly. Maybe to pray for those that just don't even know Pastor Kelly. But most everybody that knows Pastor Kelly loves Pastor Kelly. Because I got on that little thread of yours early. You know, I get up early. And then, like, I'd get up and there'd be another 20 people, and I'd have to amen some people. And then I'd say, man, I got to say something good. They got me going now. But it was like a testimony service on it. But at the end of it, it was like half the town was, and then not only, you know, here's another thing that some people did. Some people knew Pastor Kelly was having a bad week. They showed up in church, and they don't even come to this church. Amen. They wanted to show Pastor Kelly that they loved her. As a matter of fact, then God throws a couple new families in here to show her there's more people coming. There's more harvest coming. There's more healing coming. There's more prosperity coming. There's going to be more hungry people coming, but there's going to be more people to serve. Amen? And the last verse in Matthew 11:12 says, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence from the times of John the Baptist until now. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. So sometimes when the devil is coming against you, don't get me going with eating the pie. I knew Paul wasn't the devil. I seen that on Facebook. I'm glad Pastor Kelly clarified that, though, because I was thinking, you know, he must have did something more than just eat that pie if he's the devil. No, amen. From the days of John the Baptist, the devil ain't got nothing new. He's using people that ain't filled with the Spirit. He's using people that are jealous. He's using people that may have left here, and they don't even be meaning to really hurt your feelings. But they get on there and they say some dumb things because they don't think. Because, see, the Bible says that if the devil would have knew how bad he would have got whipped, he would have never put Jesus on the cross. If the devil would have knew how bad Pastor Kelly was going to kick the devil out of Logan County, he'd have tried to figure a way out to say maybe Pastor Kelly didn't need to be a pastor. But God knew that that's just what we needed for COVID. God knew that that's what we needed for this community. And, you know, when I see those hungry people out there, I see people that are going to get saved eventually because sooner or later they're going to get a job. Sooner or later they're going to come to Christ and they're going to say, man, what about that church that used to feed us all the time? We ought to go over there and try that church. And, you know, God will expand this ministry this way, that way, whatever way he needs to expand it. This is just the first building project with the Manna Center. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. But God is doing some things that just blows my mind all the time. Amen? Amen? And the same God that's blessing this church, blessing this pastor, wants you guys to have the greatest new year ever. He wants you to fear not because he's with you. He's holding you right by the right hand. He's taking you out of last year into a new year, into new things. And the violent, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. You know, sometimes I have to just tell people the way it is in as nice a way I can. You know, I'm not going to receive your curses. I mean, if I cough a little bit at work and a guy will try to tell me, man, have you been around anybody with COVID? Man, are you coming down with this or that? You know, they got the A, the B, the C. I mean, just say they got the alphabet flu now, man. I know you got to have one of them. It's either somewhere between A and Z, but that little cough, I said, dude, I got a little piece of freaking food in my throat and it almost choked me. It's nothing serious, you know? My God, man, you know, I'm on break. I ain't got time for this, you know? Don't let nobody speak no curses on your life. Sometimes you got to take it by force. And most people, they really mean well in their own mind and their own circumstances. But, you know, if they don't got no scripture or nothing like that, I'm just going to go with God every morning. I'm going to keep doing what God told me to do. I'm going to go bag up a bag of trash right now after I get out of here and take it to the trash like I've done for 30 years. Because as I look in the mirror every morning, there's still a little bit of trash in Samuel McElhaney that needs to be taken out. And, you know, I'd like to say, God, could you come and get this trash out? But God calls me to take the trash out of my own life. And if you got trash in your life, he calls you to take the trash out of your life. But he will help you with his righteous right arm if you'll just ask. Them. And sometimes it starts with, God, what do you want me to do for you today? And it doesn't matter if you feel worthy or if your mama thinks you're worthy or if your daddy thinks you're worthy. It matters what Father God thinks. And the day that I got saved 30 years ago, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of glorious light. And it don't matter what anybody thinks that's still under the curse. I'm under the new redeemed blessing of the Most High God. I never have financial problems. I always have enough to pay my bills and somebody else's bills. I always have enough because of God. Last verse, Luke 10, 17, 18, and 19. I can go there. Take it by force. This is Jesus, you know, he sent them out two by two to do the work. And every morning, Jesus will send you out to do some work if you just ask him. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, this word behold means like, listen, stop, pay attention. I give unto you power to tread on the devil, to tread on serpents, to tread on sickness, to tread on poverty, to tread on drug addiction, to tread on alcoholism, to tread on the curses that's in your family's life, to tread on liars. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. God wants you to know that nothing by any means is going to hurt you, that all things work together for the good to them that love God. And even if somebody comes against you, by all means, all things work together for the good to them that love God. Stay in the hands of the living God. Have the greatest, most prosperous new year ever, and just take it day by day, moment by moment. Amen? Amen. Turning it back over to Pastor Kelly.
Up here with me just for a minute. How many of you were encouraged by that? Yeah. Amen. You know, I didn't make any bones about it. I had a hard week last week. And you know, Brother Sam, while I was having you preach,